Thank you, guys.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm an alcoholic and an addict, and I always had a problem saying that, but I have no problem today. Sobriety date is 7/28/19. So we're going to start like this. I was born September 13th, 1984, which is my birthday today. I turned 36 years old. I'm finally starting to live life. I was born in Breckenridge. I'm a Virgo. My mom and my dad, my mom's name is Linda Hernandez. My dad's name is Paul Garza. They had me, my mom had me when she was 18. No, my dad, was 20. My dad always worked, and he's, an alcoholic as well, a recovering alcoholic. And I'll get to that later on. I grew up in Santa Rita Courts, Charmers Courts, projects. I was very poor as a kid. Didn't have much. But what I had was, I was very grateful for everything I had when I was a kid. I remember having a cap gun with no caps, you know, my toys in the projects were cockroaches. I used to let them, you know, crawl all over me. And that was fun, you know, that was fun for me. So little things like that were, I get very happy of the littlest things, and I hold dear to that. I'm a very simple person, you know. I like just, you know, just the way things are. I don't like to switch things up too much, which, kind of got me in trouble, as a kid, but, you know. So I went to Stunches Elementary. I was a Stunches singer. I got picked on a lot because I had a high pitched voice. Always got, picked on because I had a big nose, big ears, you know. I always, was told that I was ugly, you know, in school, you know, they would say, I got that face only a mom could love, you know? And yeah, she loved me very much. So, the beginning of me knowing that I was going to become an addict was the time that my teacher asked me, what are you going to become 5 or 10 years from now? And I was still little. I was a little kid, you know? And the first thing that came to my mind is I'm going to become an alcoholic like my dad. And sure enough, I became an alcoholic like my dad. I really did what was around me, you know, always seen my family. My mom had 13 brothers and sisters. They're still to this day, all alcoholics. You know, I have 7 uncles that died from cirrhosis. My dad was an alcoholic growing up. His dad was an alcoholic. You know, my mom, she drank every once in a while, but you know, she was able to control her drinking. And I remember as a kid going to my mom and my dad would go down to 6th Street and they would park me next to they would go to the bar when you can actually take a kid into a bar, you know, and they put me by the window. And I remember looking at all the people passing by. And I still remember to this day when I was a little kid looking back and seeing my mom and my dad and socializing with each other, drinking. And I thought that was normal. I always thought that that's how people got to know each other. Was to have a drink and unwind, and that's how communication started. You know, there was this clown car that used to come around, and he used to do magic tricks, and he would see me every weekend, you know, and he was like kind of like real good friends with my dad and my mom, and that was exciting for me to see something that, you know, a lot of people didn't see that passed up. And for someone just to give me his time, and because I was the only kid probably on the 6th Street with my mom and my dad, you know, that was very unique, and I'll always remember that as a kid. My progression as a person in addiction was marijuana. You know, I started smoking weed when I was like 12 or 13 years old. I did it because it made me feel good. You know, it made me break out of my shell and not care what people thought about me. And all those times, all that time that I would smoke, you know, I would become somebody else that I liked, you know, and I wasn't myself, you know, all those negative thoughts weren't in my head at that time. You know, I started skipping school, you know, smoking weed. I went to Mendez Middle School, you know, Mendez Middle School in South Austin in Dove Springs. I moved to Dove Springs. I had been living there for about 29 years. You know, as a kid going to middle school, that was the normal thing. You know, we skip school, go to somebody's parents' house that wasn't home. you know, and everybody would steal their parents' money, and we'll meet up with the dope dealer and get a big old sack of weed and roll up blunts. You know, that was normal for everyone. And then we would laugh and talk about how cool it was that we screwed our parents over and they never noticed, you know, and we thought that was cool. You know, like if I would have stole like $100 that one week, the next week somebody would try to steal $200 or $300 just to, you know, try to like say, oh, look what I did, you know? And I was proud of that. I can't believe like how much I ever put my family through that, you know, and that is something that I think to this day, like, but I don't let it bother me because I know, that's who I used to be. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that kind of stuff. So, I started smoking weed, you know, I would skip school. And then one time my friend had a bottle of liquor and we started drinking, you know, I started drinking at the age of 19. And it started to get more fun, you know, we would do things like, break into people's house, you know, and it was all right. Like at the time I thought it was all right. You know, I remember breaking into somebody's house and I stole a 45 and I went to school with it loaded. I went to go get my, did my test. And, the end of that test, we went out to the back where the track and field was at and we shot that gun off. And that was the first time that I ever felt power over that. I had power in my hands and I was able to control at any time what I wanted to do with that gun, you know? And, that was bad. I hated that feeling that I got after the fact that I would rob somebody or break into their house. And, you know, and only until it happened to me, and then I really was like, oh, that's what it feels like. I had to stop. The progression of heavy using was like, you know, in school, we would go and play a pool down over there by, we call it the back room. The back room was on Riverside. We used to play pool there, smoke weed inside, you know, skip school. And I was in Johnston at that time. Johnston, I went to Johnston and Travis High School, kind of went to school. And, that's where our drinking started to get worse and worse. I would come home from the day of skipping school. And when I would get home, I remember my homeboy had some lean and we ended up sipping on some lean and we started drinking and we started sipping that lean. And my homeboy, it was drinking at the time, passed out, and we thought it was funny. He was on the floor like it was all right. You know, he ended up hurting himself by falling down on the floor and busting his head open, and we had to call the cops. And then we ended up leaving him there on the floor while the cops came and got him. And it was fucked up that I would do stuff like that. But like I dropped out at the age of 16. I was in ninth grade when I dropped out of Travis High School. And so I started working. I work with these hands right here. I don't have much skill up here in my head, but I do have skills in my hands and my feet. I'm a hardworking person and I've always, was proud of that. I've never had a high school diploma, no GED, you know, I've never been asked for a high school diploma or a GED. I always lied about it. That's something that I would like to go back to and probably get a GED. I started doing all this crazy shit, and my family started to realize that there was something really wrong with the way I was thinking at the time. I did these things because at the time when I was drinking, see, I always cared about what people thought about me. And when I would drink, I'd be like, no, fuck that. You know, I don't care about what anybody thinks about me. Screw everybody else. You know, they're on my time, you know, and I became a hard-headed asshole. You know, I just became this person that I kind of liked because no one was going to pick on me no more. But then again, I did not like because I was losing who I really was. I was Paul Garza. I'm the second. I was not, you know, I was becoming my dad, you know, I was becoming somebody that I didn't even like at the time when he would use, you know, my dad's got 14 years of sobriety right now. He's the type of person that went to the program, Austin Recovery. He's been sober, but he doesn't do meetings. You know, my mom should drink every once in a while, but like maybe twice out of the year. And I never got that. Like, how can somebody just have one drink? There's no such thing as one thing for me. Even in Red Bulls, I can't even drink just one fucking Red Bull. It's like, so addictive, you know. I have an addictive personality, and I noticed that. So yeah, my rock bottom, you know, I started drinking, and that's when cocaine and crack came into it. You know, between that, when I couldn't find drugs, I used to huff gasoline and paint. My mom's brothers and sisters, were paint, they used to huff paint, and I, you know, also started, and I started liking it, and plus it was cheap. But just to sit there and like slobber all over yourself, and then the next morning having gasoline all in your lungs was bad, you know? So yeah, I started also doing crack. I started smoking crack, and you know, I would have money because I was working at the age of, 16, 17, 18. You know, I started smoking crack when I was like about the same time I started drinking, around like, 19, 20. And, that lasted a long time. I did a lot of cocaine, you know, in my 20s. I don't really remember my 20s. I really don't. I remember a lot of fuck ups. I remember bringing my family down with me, and this whole time they were always there, right? But I didn't care. I didn't care about what their feelings were. I didn't care what they thought about me. I became that asshole again, that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of person. I remember that one time. I remember one time, like, you know, I was on top of a car, and my homeboy was driving on a highway going like 90 miles an hour. And, I was on top of the car, and, almost slipped off and almost fell off in the highway. But like, I didn't care. I got off and started breaking bottles and stuff, and, right there on Stassen. At the time it was fun, you know. God has been there through this whole lifetime, my, where I've been through, man. God has to be there. There's got to be a reason why I'm still alive. Even when I didn't, at times I didn't even believe in a God. I, of my own understanding, I would, you know, always blame God for everything I ever did, that I felt like he put me through, like it was his fault, you know? But it was my own dumb decisions that I did my choice. So, you know, I take part in that. But anyways, yeah, I started, the crack and cocaine was strong, but man, meth was even stronger. I never shot up or anything like that, but I used to, sniff cocaine a lot. I mean, meth a lot. And, I remember my nostrils starting to fuck up where it was going sideways. I had a deviated septum, and it got even worse. You know, the anxiety and depression came because anybody that ever did this to their nose, I felt like they were talking about me. I always thought like it was all about me all the time, you know, and you know, I would, you know, it was a mental obsession in my brain that I couldn't get away from, and I was sick in the head, and I couldn't, and this disease, man, it was fucking me up to the point where I didn't care about living anymore. I got very depressed. So, you know, first time I went into treatment, I was in 2016. You know, it's always around the same time too. It's like June, July, August, somewhere's around there. I went to treatment three times, 2016, 2018, and 2019. Yeah, 2016, I found out that, you know, I wasn't doing this for myself. I was doing it for my family to shut them up, that I just didn't, I knew I was going to go back out. The thought in my mind of smoking weed was all right. And I was okay with that. And I thought I was sober by smoking weed and, you know, go getting marbles and getting chips and coins and like, yeah, I'm sober. I'm not drinking. I'm not doing meth or crack, you know, but I was lying to everybody. But the most important thing, I was lying to myself. And that happened in 2016, 17. And when I went back in 2018 was, I went to find God, to be honest with you, because I had lost myself throughout that transition of becoming somebody that I never knew who I was. You know, I was becoming, like I said, an asshole. But I found God at Austin Recovery. He would talk to me when I was out there. He would talk to me when I was out there, and he would show me like stuff in the sky when I would walk around that track. I was always that person that was walking around the track, you know, before it became a track. It was just a pond, you know? Yeah, I remember writing down some stuff one time and I looked down like that and there was a peace sign on the floor with a shadow that was coming from the light. And I know he was talking to me. 2018, he was talking to me. I was washing my laundry and my sobriety date came out on the laundry mats. I always had those God moments because I was always looking for a reason, an answer. And I always was, why? You know, as a little kid, I always wondered why this, why that? That was my mom said that was my first word I ever said was why. And like, you know, I always wanted an answer and when God wouldn't give me an answer, I would blame him. Like if it was his fault. So yeah, I found God in 2018 of my own understanding, which is Jesus Christ. That is my high power. And, you know, I've always, before I got into treatment, always was stereotype people. I had always, like, if you weren't my color, you were different than me. And we didn't connect. You know, I was a racist person. I really was. I didn't like gay people. Because my mom always told me she was saying, why you wear that color? It makes you look gay, you know? And that came in my head and I'm like, well, I'm not gay, but even if I was, why would it matter? You know? So that had always popped in my head. This is the reason why I'm wearing this shirt right here. My mom hated it. And plus this is the shirt that I was going to commit suicide in. And I'll talk to y'all about that in a little while, but, yeah. So, you know, I started learning that God was there for me. Jesus Christ loved me and he died for me he died for my sins. And, I was a sinner and I accepted that. But when I got out of treatment, I was sober about 6 months. The longest I ever had was 6 months. And I was happy, right? Until that one time I drank. And I drank because of the fact that I started smoking weed. Anything that I ever put into my body is going to make me think differently, and it's not me. It's going to be a snowball effect, and it always is. I smoke weed, I drink, I do crack cocaine or meth, whatever I can find, and then I become suicidal. My medications I take, I can't tell you what they are, but they help me for anxiety and depression, and I always try to drink with those medications and it's very bad thoughts, you know? So I know I needed help. In 2019, when I went to treatment, this last time was with my sobriety date is 07/28/19. I drank and I smoked that whole week. Well, I had been waiting for 2 months. I was on a list and I was like, I'm going to get it all out of my system. Give me all the meth and all the shit that I can do. And my family had to see me going through that, smelling like cat piss and not taking shower for 4 or 5 days and being up, going to work. And I remember telling my mom, and I went to go see my psychiatrist and I told him that I was going to commit suicide. Right. And I had a plan, you know, I had a plan and I was ready to do it. And I can't believe it was only 13 or 14 months ago. And I told my mom about it and she's like, yeah, you really need help. Cause the medication was interacting with me staying up and the beer, me doing all the drugs and stuff. And I became insane in here in the brain. but like, man, 2019, when I went to treatment, I gave it all up, dude. I didn't want the weed no more. You know, I don't get me wrong. I do smell weed. Every once in a while, I'm like, man, I remember those days, but it's just a thought. Fuck that, man. Those thoughts are going to come and go. And I can't be that person no more. I'm sorry. Yeah, I gave it all up and I can't believe I'm sober to this day. I really can't because like, I mean, I can, but I can't, you know, always wanted it, but I remember always telling myself, I'll probably stop doing all this and that and all this, you know, doing all the drinking and stuff. I didn't have a problem smoking weed. No, I have a problem with anything I put in my body. Shit, even Red Bulls are are bad for me. I start to think differently. Like I'm high or something, then I get jittery, and then all of a sudden I crash off of it, and I'm like, fuck, why did I do that? But then again, I do it again. You know, that's that addictive personality that I have. I gave it all up. I stay on my medications, which is good. You know, it helps me think more better. I know, like, sometimes I try to get off the medications and then I see a different way of me thinking. And so I have to go back to them. So I stay on my meds all day and all the time now. So what happened to me as far as like leading up to be getting sober, I became sober. And I'll be honest with you, I have been sober for almost 10-11 months before I even got a sponsor. And I was just doing it because I was filling that time in with projects and always feeling positivity. I've always had positive stuff in me. There's something inside of me that burns with desire of helping another person. Because I've always wanted to help somebody else, but and I would give anybody the shirt off my back, and I really would, and the shoes off my feet if I seen the person didn't have it. But it's kind of bad that I would do that, because like it leaves me with nothing. Then I'm stuck like with my last piece. Like I said the other day, the last piece of the cake, the last piece of the pie is going to be mine. I can't give that one away. I want a taste too, you know? And I think that's very important for me to put my foot down and say no. And family is the hardest, because if my mom and my dad ask me to do something, I feel like I have to do it because I owe them, but I don't really owe them. If I can tell them no and be all right with saying no, then I'm doing something right. Always said yes to everything, and I got screwed over in the long run. I don't have friends like I did before. All my homeboys from Dos Springs, you know, they betted on me that I was going to fail. Every time I go back to the hood and Dust Springs, because I go to go see my mom and my dad, they're like, "We ready, Paul? You ready?" I'm like, "No, man, I don't need that shit." That's the devil right there. That's him trying to tempt me in my thinking, and it's not going to happen. I got God on my side. I think with my heart, because God's in here, my brain, I don't think too much, because the devil tries to get in my brain. He talks to me. Not talks to me, but like, you know, I like an angel left and right type of thing. And so like I said, it's just a thought that will come and go, but as long as I have God in my heart, you can't touch me there. God is my everything right now. Before and after, he's in the middle. He's all around me. He's in parentheses. He's bold. He's highlighted. He's a neon sign. That is who he is. And he's in here right now. But I don't want to get too preachy about that. Doing step work. I'm finally doing step work with my sponsor. I'm writing down the four steps, something that I've always relapsed on. As a little kid, always had something that was bothering me. In 2018, when I left treatment, I took it with me. And in 2019, I left it there and I cried about it. I got molested as a kid, by my aunt. And I always thought it was okay because it was a woman that did it to me. But then again, I always kind of blame myself that I didn't say anything about it. I finally let it out in 2019, when I went into treatment. Maurice helped me out with that, and I cried and I let it out, man. It was something that I share now, because there's a lot of people out there that are like me that don't want to say nothing, you know, but that's them on their time. When they're ready, they'll do it. I'm on my fourth step right now. I was powerless. I was powerless, and I needed somebody's help. And that's what the program teach me, that I can't do this by myself. I've always tried to do it by myself and I couldn't. This is a beautiful thing right here, because I never thought I would be in this position right here. I remember in 2016 when I seen Chris Gates up there and Will Miley. And I always wanted to be like these guys that had something going for them, that, you know, my goal in life is to become a motivated speaker. And that's my goal. That's what I feel like something is calling me to become. A house manager is what I am now. never thought that would happen, you know? So like just doing the step work right here and being honest and real with myself is the stepping stones for everything that I'm about to go through in my life. And maybe when I have kids, I'll show them, they'll be proud of who I am one of these days, but I need to be proud of myself to be who I want to be, who Paul Garza is. So yeah, man, still got like 15 minutes. It's all good. I got this. It is very important that I let whatever's in my head come out sometimes, because if it magnifies in my head, then it's going to get bigger. And it's the littlest, simplest things that fuck me up that I go back and use, you know, and I kind of justify that it's all right to go back and use because, you know, I'll live another day. But what if I don't? I know what's going to happen to me. If I start using again, I become, and so I will not let the devil win at all whatsoever. Yeah, man, I rented a hotel room and I'm in a hotel by myself, which is awesome because it's something that I've been wanting to do and I'm not getting high. I'm not, no lines on the table, no beers in the refrigerator, you know, no hookers or anything. So yeah. And you know, I'm going to meditate here in a little while. I got me a singing bowl. I got me some sage and some stuff. I'm about to do my Matthew McConaughey thing without the weed, you know. But those moments that I have by myself and me and God is what I look forward to. Because he's there for me. He's here right now in the room with me. I can be alone, but I'm not. So my first year of recovery, like I said, I wasn't all doing step work or anything. And I'm just being brutally honest, man. I wasn't doing it, you know, but I stayed with the program. I stayed in the rooms. But now I'm finally doing the step work. Just 1, 2, and 3. I've always had it. One was in 2018 when I knew I was powerless and I needed somebody's help. The 2 and 3, I mean, I've had God. I've had God this whole time. And the 4-step, you know, just the inventory of what I had part in. And my hand was in the cookie jar for a very long time, stealing everybody's shit, which is not cool because like all the people that I ever screwed over, man, it comes like, it's like karma. It comes back around. I got jumped like 4 years ago through, no, 3 years ago. And, they busted my head open and, I had 7 staples in my head. I had my whole right side of my face smashed down and that was karma from something that I used to do. So yeah, hold on. Sorry. Somebody's texting me. I get a lot of text messages. A lot of people, there's always a lot of people that are influenced me like to do better. And, you know, it's mostly family, but you know, there's also people out there that are still using to this day. And I'm just there for as a friend, you know, to talk. But yeah, man, a lot of the shit that has ever happened to me, like bad stuff, kind of like, when somebody did it to me, it's just all karma that I did to somebody else. So this first year, I went, it's like I don't count my days no more. My sobriety counter does that for me. I'll be like, yeah, I got 30 days, you know, and let's go to this place and check out this, not just bar, but let's go check out this band. I can take it. No, I can't. I'm not ready yet. My temptations, they come and go. So like I always used to like tempt myself going to the beer aisle and like, you're not going to get me today, you know, until it finally got me. I would pick up a beer. I got, you know, I would get thirsty and drink a beer and be like, fuck, I'll do that again. I'll be more strong, but it never works. To know that the beer aisle is there and to go into the soda aisle now and not to tempt myself is, real powerful for me because I know it's there. But it's just, like I said, it's just a thought. So I don't act on it. I don't face it head on. Like it doesn't get in my head, man. It doesn't eat up on me. But building relationships with my family. Sorry, I kind of like jump everywhere. That's just how Paul is. Rebuilding relationships with my family, my mom and my dad, we love each other, man. I could never tell my parents I loved them, for a very long time. It was just, I remember as a kid, they would tell me, but like something happened there in my dad's addiction and in my addiction that we would just not say that when we would go to sleep. And I tell them I love them every day. I remember praying for the very first time in Austin Recovery as a family. And, that was something that was magical. And I'm always going to remember that to the day I die. Developing real friendship, which y'all are my real friends, people that don't want nothing from me, but are willing to sit there and listen to me and be there as support. Cause I was kind of scared. I'll be honest with you. I was afraid. Like I started writing shit down. Like it was a fucking essay, and it's not, it's my life. It's something that's in inside of me that I already know. I don't have to have no cheat sheet for any of this. I don't have to write it down. You know, it's in here. It's what my life that I live. So yeah, y'all are my friends, my real friends. And this is something I'm going to be in for the long run, man. I don't want to change for anything. I really don't. And I know relapses, they say sometimes like the relapses are, they happen, but I really don't want it to happen because I know what's going to happen if I relapse. I'm going to end up doing what I was going to do 13, 14 months ago. And I was going to do it in a bad way. Share my experience with steps, working the steps, and staying connected to your high power. Whatever your high power is, mine, like I tell you what mine is. If it works for you, it works for you. I don't ever judge anybody no more for what they believe in. Religion breaks up a lot of, barriers between God, and the perception of what it really is. Whatever works for you, you do that. Don't let anybody ever tell you what you can or what you cannot do. You know, now I'm my own person. I get to wear any colors I want to wear. I don't have to like kiss ass to anybody. If you don't like me, then that's their loss, man. I'm not going to change who Paul is, not even for my family now, you know? I'm going to be standing up in my sister's wedding and, next Sunday. And, you know, it's something that I want to happen for me one of these days. I want to live a happy, prosperous life. Like I want a family one of these days, and me doing drugs is not going to get me there. My little nephew is the life. I want to be there for my little nephew. His name is Mason. He's 4 years old. And, you know, he's a character, man. And he's somebody that I actually look up to wanting to be, because if that little kid can be whoever he wants to be and grow a future, as long as I feed positivity in him, and there's like, you know, the heartaches are going to come and go, but like, I'm going to end up losing them here, like maybe in a month or two, because my sister is going to go move out and I'm not going to have them like every day. So it's something that is bothering me, but that's why I'm saying it right now. I know it's a story thing, but I see that it's recording and I'm about to listen to myself later on. what are the cool things that you have coming your way and the results of being sober in recovery? My recovery is my mind. My recovery is my feelings. Somewhere along the way when I was using, I lost that. I couldn't express who I was because I was in a Hispanic family. We just showed machismo and, you know, you're weak. You're a pussy you're a wimp if you show your feelings, and that's not the case, man. You're a real man, or you're a real person if you show your feelings. I'm not a robot, you know. I am a person that has feelings just like everybody that I come across. And, I've seen people not put their all in it. And, the only thing I can say to that is don't give up on yourself. You know, I gave up on myself in addiction, and now, man, I nothing but positivity vibes coming from me now. I tell myself I love myself every day because it's true now. I actually love myself. I don't care. Like I said, it doesn't matter like what people think about me sometimes. Like it bothers me every once in a while. Like, yeah, I could be cooler, but you know, this is Paul. no tattoos, no, you know, I have a colorful mind and a colorful heart, man. And that's what's very important to me. And I see myself going a long way. I really do, because I want it more than ever now. And it starts with doing the things I don't want to do, and facing that fear, and the things I want to do. Like if somebody's passing by me and it smells like weed, don't do it. They'll come and go. You know, the first time I ever wrote down my story was in 101, and it wasn't as badass as this one was. And that one I wrote stuff down. And I still messed up, but like right now, man, it's all coming from the heart. It makes me want to cry. It really does, because like I finally get to be who Paul is, a human being that's going to go through problems. But it's how I overcome them that make me prevail over the other side, you know. But like as I sit here in the room, not by myself, but with God, I embrace that. And I know he's there for a reason. I'm here for a reason. I'll finish with this. If anybody ever is struggling to become, set goals for yourself that are all right to fail every one or two of them. You know, I set 5 goals, and out of 5 of them, I do 3, and I leave room to fail. Or 2, like stop drinking energy drinks. I always fell on that one. And fast food, like, but so fast, you know, you just go through a drive through and you're full already in one burger. You know, I try to like, set myself. Okay. It's all right to fail. You know, I'm not a perfect person. But the big cool life is there. It really is. I choose life, not death. That's for sure. 3 thumbs up. What else? I love y'all guys. Whoever's on here, I love y'all guys. And whoever's not on here, I still love y'all from my heart. I will be here if anybody ever needs to talk. But, like, be you. Don't ever be afraid to be yourself. And I love y'all and thank y'all.
Good job, Paul.
Yeah, good job,
Paul.
Congrats, Jason.
Way to go, Paul.
Yeah, that was awesome, Paul.
All right.